Okay, so first, tonight's daf is sponsored by Carol Learman, on the occasional yahrzeit of her grandmother, Yentabat Rav Avram. I don't know what HK stands for. What's HK? I don't know. Anyway, Zichrono Bracha. Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Gimel tonight. Let's just refresh our recollection. We need a little bit from yesterday's daf to make the transition here. So we were in a big discussion yesterday about the minimum shear to be chayav keren v'chomesh. Is it a kezayit or is it pruta? But in the course of that discussion, the Gemara brought up a brisa. You don't need to know all of the Torah about the kezayis and the pruto, just the pieces brisa. So if you look on Lamed Beis, around six lines above where it gets wide, Ditanya, the Gemara quoted a brisa, b'chata b'shkaga. So it's talking about a person who commits me'ila. Me'ila is when you wrongfully benefit from, you know, property, the Beis HaMikdash. So the chata b'shkaga, so if you do the aveira b'shogeg, you're chayav a korban me'ila. In addition to paying keren v'chomesh, you'll bring a korban me'ila. Prat l'mezid, that excludes mezid. If you intentionally, you did me'ila, you don't get the korban. And again, the korban you could view as an opportunity to purge yourself of the aveira. He says, v'lo dinhu. So the Tana of the Braisa says, wouldn't I know this logically? Why do I need the pasuk? I would know it logically that the korban is only for shogeg, not for mezid. Umashar mitzvot shechayv ben karet, other mitzvot that you're chayv karet. Let's say like chaylev dam. So b'mezid you're chayv karet. So whenever b'mezid you're chayv karet, b'shogeg you're chayv a korban chatat. Right? That's the way it works. So he says umashar mitzvot shechayv ben karet, poter behen et amazed. So, but bemazed, you're patur from a korban. It's only b'shogeg. He says, me'ila she'ain ba karet. Me'ila doesn't have karet. Me'ila is mita b'dei shemayim. So he said, karet is we normally view it as more chamur than mita b'dei shemayim. Karet, you and your kids die early, and mita b'dei shemayim, just you die, is one way to look at it. Ein odin she'patur et amazed. So certainly, if in one case, if the more chamur case, I'm patur from a korban in a case of mezid. In the kal case, I'm certainly patur from a korban b'mezid. So then why do I need the pasuk? So then the time of the price is low. So now the Gemara seems to reverse flow, or the price seems to reverse flow, and say if you're chayav mita, that's more chamur. He says, tomor b'me'ilam shechayav b'mita. B'me'ilam yechayav mita b'dei shemayim. So I would think that you are a chayav korban. Tamalomor b'shkaga prat lemezid. Okay, that's the brisa. But Amarli Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Lord of Chiya bar Avin, Haytanami kara alimalei karet. Initially, the Tana seems to think that karet is more chamor than mita b'dei shemayim. So if it didn't applies by karet sin, then certainly applies by the mita b'dei shemayim. It was so far alimalei mita, but the end, he seems to assume just the opposite. The mita b'dei shemayim is more chamur. Says va'amar lei. So Rav Chiya bar Avin said back to him, "Hachi kamar." This is what the brisa means. Lo mimarcha b'shar mitzvot shekin lo chiya behen mita b'pachot mikzayit. Means that by other mitzvot you're not chayav mita karet whatever if you consume less than a kezayit. You know, you have to consume at least a kezayis of chaylev in order to be chayav karet. Tomar b'meila. But by me'ila, you're chayev even if it's less than a kezayit. Okay, okay, now let's go to Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and we'll pick up where we left off yesterday. Okay, so the Gemara, again, we brought this brisa in because it related to the topic or a proof about, you know, whether Rav Papa was chozer or not from the way he touched up the position of Abba Shaul, yeah. All right, so the back, if you look in the Gemara, around the 10th line on Lama Gimel and Aleph, so Mar Bered Deravna, everybody have it? So around the 10th line, Lama Gimel 33a, around the 10th line. So Mar Bered Deravna Amar Hachi Kamar. So Mar Bered, he understands the Brisa differently. Hachi Kamar means he's saying the Brisa is somewhat mishabeshta, somewhat corrupted, and we have to amend the Brisa and understand it this way. Again, the main thing is, how is it that the Tana reverses flow? In other words, initially he holds karet bearing aveira is more chamor than amita b'dei shemayim aveira. That seems to be the simple pshat. But at the end, he reverses, he has an argument, the counter argument. So the first way we learned that the counter argument was that you're chayiv even if it's less than a kezayis. But now he has Zamar Bere Deravno Amar Hachikamar. Lo Mart Bishar Mitzvot Shlosaba Hen Sha'im Kavin Kimit Kavin. In other words, by other mitzvot, you're patur from mitasek. Remember, we had this by Shabbos. We'll see in a minute. Shemin kavin lachtoch et talush. Let's say by Hilchot Shabbat, if a person intended to cut that which was detached, in other words, he's got tomatoes, he intends to cut the stem of a tomato, but he's under the impression that this tomato is detached. So he's just cutting an object that's already detached from the ground. He says v'chatach et mechubar, and then he mistakenly cuts either a different tomato that's mechubar. So he intended to do an act of cutting, but he thought he was doing a cutting that's permissible. He ended up doing a cutting that's prohibited. So shepatur, that's patur, that's mitasek, and we have it by Hilchot Shabbat. Remember, by just refresh everybody's recollection, by Hilchot Shabbat you need melacha machshavet, calculated type of labor. You have to know what you're doing. So if you don't even know the act that you're doing, then it's not even a shogeg. It's patur. He says here, Tomar b'me'ila, so, and this is the way that that Marbury de Ravna says the Brisa should read. Tomar b'me'ila, shem dekamil et chameim b'gizei chulin, by me'ila, a person intend, he's standing, and he has a tuft of wool that's chulin, and a tuft of wool that's from an ola. So if he benefits from the ola, he's doing act of me'ila. He enters the chulin, it's fine. He says, so tomar b'me'ila, shemin kamen lechamein b'gizei chulin, he intended to take the permissible wool, lechamein b'gizei ola shema'al. There he's chayav by me'ila. And the reason he's chayav by me'ila, again, the Gemara is differently moved. And by Shabbos, we have melechem ha'shevet. And by other aveirot, it says chatzto asher chatab ba, that he sinned in it. So it has to be that he knows what he's doing. Chatab ba. From the word ba, Chazal have that drasha. But by Mi'ila, it doesn't say chatab ba. It says chata. So he says, so therefore he deduces that you're chayiv even for nisa's sake. Okay, so let me just do one more piece, then I'll come back. So this pshat is saying that what the Tana is thinking is the Me'ilah is more chamor than other mitzvos because you're chayiv by mitasek. The next answer is also just a variation on it, so I just want to do the next answer as well. Rav Nachbar Yitzchak Amar, Hachi Kamar. Rav Nachbar says this is what the Tana is saying. Lo marta b'shar mitzvot, shekin lo b'chayiv behen she'ei mitasek ki mitasek. Again, other mitzvot, mitasek is patur. Mitasek means you were preoccupied, is what you'd say it, I think, in English. He says, Shemin Kavin, now here, he defines Metasek differently. Shemin Kavin lag biyad atalush v'chatachar amachubar shepatur. In the first case, he's defining Metasek, is basically defining Metasek differently. In the first case, he's defining Metasek, the person intends to do an act of chaticha, he intends to do an act of cutting, but he's under the impression that he's cutting something which is talush, and he cuts something which is mechubar. That's the first case. The second case, the second Amara holds that the first case, you're really chayav for. If you intend to do an act of cutting, you're chayav. That's what he learns. But what's mitzasek, he says, shemin kamin lahagbi at a talish. He intended to lift up, he doesn't even do an act of cutting. He intends to lift up something. So the simple pshat, there's a tomato. He wants to lift up the tomato. He says, b'chatach et mechubar. He ends up cutting the mechubar. Now, shepatur. Now, Rashi in Masechet Shabbat learns it a little unusual pshat. He says, a person dropped a knife and intended to lift up the knife, and instead he ends up cutting that which was mechubar. That's what Rashi learns. But the simple pshat, you could say the way that I did it with the tomatoes, and that's what Rabbi Sarfati said to me today. He says, b'chatach et mechubar shepatur. Tomar b'me'ila shemoshit yado l'kli l'tol chayfetz by me'ila, if he stuck his hand in a kli, he wants to grab an object, he says v'sach yado b'shem, and somehow his hand got anointed with oil. So he doesn't even intend to do an act of anointing with oil. He intends to reach for an object. In other words, it's a totally different act. In other words, and the besachet yadob shemen shalkode shema'al. They did do me'ila. So again, let's just summarize again. So we're going back to the brisa from yesterday. It's really like a side issue, just to touch up the brisa, like clean up the action. So in the brisa, initially the brisa thought that if you're chayav karet, then if it's true, that's the chamor case. So in a case where you're chayav karet, you're not chayiv for korban b'mezid, you're only chayiv b'shogeg. Certainly, in a case of me'ila, which is mi'ita b'dei shemayim, then you're not chayiv a korban b'mezid. That's the initially. Then the Braisa reversed its svara. So what do we need the pasuk for? Then the Braisa reversed its svara and said, no, maybe me'ila is more chamor. So we couldn't understand how is me'ila more chamor. So like initially it sounded like he's saying that mi'ita b'dei shemayim is more chamor. So the first pshat that we gave, which was from yesterday's daf, that Rav Chiya bar Avin says means by other aveirot you're not chayav a korban you're not chayav mita if you eat less than a kazayit. So you're not chayav karet if you eat less than a kazayit. But by meila, there you are chayav mita b'dei shemayim even if it was less than a kazayit. That's what the first pshat was. Now, the pshatim that we did with today deal with mita'asek, that we want to say that mi'ila is different. In other words, the basic klal is mita'asek is patur. That's klal and shas. Mita'asek is patur. And mita'asek is patur, but Shabbos is patur from other aveirot as well. We said that by Shabbos you have a requirement of lechem ashevet, and by other aveirot it says asher chatab ba. From the word ba, because I'll understand that you have to know what you're doing, as opposed to mitasek, where you don't know what you're doing. He says, but by me'ila, it doesn't say ba. So in a way, me'ila is more chamor, because you're chayav, even if you're mitasek. But then, the last two statements were just a machlok of what is mitasek. According to the first shot, mitasek is, if I intended to cut an act cutting A and then I cut B, that's misasek. In other words, I intended to cut that which was talish and instead I cut that which was mechubar. That's mitasek. According to second shot, that's not mitasek. That I'm chayav for. Mitasek is I intend lahagbiya. I don't even intend to an act of cutting. I intend to lift something up and then I do an act of cutting. So then that's mitasek. But either way, the point is that mitasek is chayav by me'ila. It's not chayav by sha'ar aveirot. So I would think that me'ila is more chamor. And that mainly by me'ila you should be chayav the korban even the mezid. So kamash malan not this way. Okay, who's a question comes to us on anything I did so far?
So does everyone agree you're chayav for mitatzik? It's an argument what mitatzik is for other mitzvot.
Yeah, in other words, it's machloket what mitatzik is.
But everyone holds you're chayav.
By Me'ila, everybody holds in Misasik your Chayiv, and by other Mitzvahs, everybody holds your Patur.
Right, even Shabbat, your Chayiv.
Right, correct. But this question, what is Misasik?
What it is. Right. So everyone holds your Chayiv for Misasik no matter what. Just Machloket for other Mitzvot, what it is.
Wait. Again,
by
90% of the Torah, 99% of the Torah except for Me'ila, your Patur for Mitasik. But by Me'ila, your Chayiv for Mitasik.
Okay, I got it. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? All right. Malka, nice to see your ceiling tonight. There's the Malka hand. It's like her signature. All right, let's see. And Shaya, nice to have you as well, Shaya. Nice to see the ceiling. All right, let's take a look. All right, let's see. Let's see further in the Gemara. All right, now the Gemara today is just like cleaning up, issues that came up in yesterday's daf, really. So the Gemara has Amar Mar is what we're up to, right? So we're around, 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Mar, now, B'memurim B'mafrish Shrum B'chmitza. If you remember yesterday, we had a Braisa on the Mebezim and Aleph. It was talking about if you have Truman Chametz on Pesach. So we had a Machloket, I think, between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochim and Nuri. And Rabbi Kiva says you're always patur if you eat the Trumas Chametz on Pesach. And Rabbi Yochum and Nuri said that maybe that sometimes you're chayev. And it was talui on whether you could get hana from it. Whether one second, what was it talui on? Yeah, through Chametz Pesach is aser bana. Yeah, so Rabbi Kiva held lefi dami mishalim, so you're off the hook. Rabbi Yochanuri held lefi mida mishalim, by volume, you're chayav. So, but everybody holds that it's asur bana, but that was it. But anyway, in the Braisa, though, the Gemara said, let's see the Gemara. So, Amar Mar, b'mem murim b'mafrish truma v'achmitza. We're talking about that you were mafrish to truma, and then it became chametz. So either you were mafrish to truma before Pesach, and it was chametz, or you mafresh the truma on Pesach and it wasn't chametz, then it became chametz. But at the time you mafresh it, it was not prohibited. So it got the shchal shem of truma. Aval hifresh chametz truma, but if on Pesach I mafresh chametz truma, divrei kol ein kedosha. Everybody agrees that it doesn't have a shame truma. It doesn't get off the ground. He says, now, Menani Mili, where do we know that to be the case? How do I know if a mafrish chametz as truma, it doesn't even get a shame truma? Where do I know that from? On Pesach, that is. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Kro Titen Lo V'lo L'Oro. It says Titen Lo. What is the whole pasuk with this? Rashi? Where is Rashi? One second. Yeah, it says Reshit Gancha, right? Reshit Gancha, I think Tirush Chavi Tzarecha, you know, and then Titen Lo, you'll give it to the Kohen. So Titen Lo, you give it to him, Velo Lo Oro, not to his fire. In other words, it has to be something that he's able to eat. And so if it's not something he can eat, so it's not, doesn't get a Chal Shem of Truma. He says, Mati Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Now he has a Kasha from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, that's the Mishnah, rather, from the following Mishnah, Masech Trumot. He says, "Ein tormin min hatmei l'tohora." We're not mafrish from tamei produce for tohora produce. In other words, I shouldn't be mafrish truma tamei. Vim taram b'shogeg truma to truma. But if I did it b'shogeg, it is a good truma. So the Kohen is not allowed to eat truma tamei, and yet the Mishnah says, so just like he can't eat the chametz, he can't eat the truma tamei. The chametz, he said, is not even truma, but the truma tamei is called truma. Why is that? So b'mai lema lo v'lo l'oro. Why don't we say it has to be he who's able to eat it, not l'oro, not for his fire? So where is this lo kasha? There's no contradiction. Hatam haitat lo shara kosher. In other words, in the case of the Mishnah Masechet Truma that we just did, even though it's tamei right now, but at one point it wasn't tamei. So it could have had the potential, you know, to be, you know, shot a kosher. It could have even eaten initially. Hacha lo ita shot a kosher. He says, but here by the chametz, it never had a moment when it would have been permissible. We'll explain in a minute. He says, lo haitalo shot a kosher. Hey, Chidami, what's that case? Going to achmis b'mechubar. Became chametz what was mechubar to the plant. So it means like this. Let's say you have wheat that's growing and it rains. So normally we say when plants grow, it can't become chametz. So they quoted in the art school from the Chuv from the Rashba that once it's mature, then even if it's mechubar, it could become chametz. You remember this is like a few years ago. They had an article in the Times about rabbis going out to the Southwest and examining the fields, the grains that were there, you know, from an issue of chametz, and so it's not enough that water doesn't touch it after it's reaped. In other words, even water, in other words, once it becomes mature grain, I don't want the water to touch it, so I have to reap it right away and then put it away. But anyway, the point back in the Gemara, let me get through this piece, then we'll talk, okay? So he says, hatam da haitel shana kosher, hakalo haitel shana kosher. He says, the achmis mechubar. So in other words, we're talking about a case, in other words, what's the case where it's zero truma if it was a machmitz b'mechubar. If while it was still attached to the plant, it became chametz, so that's the case where it's a zero. Aval achmitz b'talush, but if it became chametz when it was talush, and then he designates it as truma, hachinami dekitcha. In hachinami, then it's kadosh. So now this was, Rav Huna Briggs of Yeshua had posed the question, right? And it looks like he's the one who gave the answer. So wait, let me see who's talking to who here. One second.
It doesn't say who answered it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't of Yavuna.
Okay, one second. Let me take a look. One second. Who's speaking to who? One second. No. Then we had Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is the one who responded, right? So Rav Huna Bar Yeshua posed the question, and then
Rav Nachman first said his statement, and then Rav Huna asked a question on it.
Right. Rav Nachman Yitzchak made the statement, then Rav Huna Bar Yeshua posed the question. Right. So the Gemara answered lo kasha. We said it would have shot a kosher. So he says achmis b'mechubar. Okay. So now the So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, agrees to that interpretation of the Braisa. So he says, Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, let me see back in the Gemara. So, So Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, in, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. He says, B'gzeret Irin Pitgama, ooh, it should be B'meimar Kadishin, She'elta. This is a pasuk. It's talking about Nebuchadnezzar and Sefer Daniel. He has a dream, and in his dream, he says, like the statement was Gzirat Irin from the Malachim, Mimar Kadishin She'elta, and the he says the like by the, it was by the decree of angels, by the word of the holy ones. He says V'chein Morin Bevei Medrasha. In other words, he's quoting the pasuk to say the Talmidei Chachamim agree with this pshat. In other words, they agree with that pshat. He says, and that's the way they make Horab Bevei Medrasha Kavati, like my statement. So so in Akhenami, the Gemara takes it that way. Okay, so let's just get the main idea. So the only the idea we're saying is that if a person, the way we think right now, if it became chametz on the stalk, then I don't have a koach to declare it to be truma because that's an ineffectual statement. Titen lo, it has to be susceptible to being eaten. And this thing at no time was susceptible to being eaten because it became chametz on Pesach. And so from the get-go. But if it was not chametz, then it became a chametz, you know, let's say if it was reaped, and I declare it to be truma when we think it could be truma at that point. Okay, whose question comes to the and says so far? Robert, you look puzzled. What's up? Okay. All right, I'm going to move on.
Why did he bring the pasuk from Daniel?
He brought that just it's just like it to expresses his viewpoint. He's trying to say the Talmidei Chachamim agree with me, and just like in that pasuk, it says B'gzeret Irin Pitgama. The statement is made by the decree of the Malachim. The Malachim in this case is a metaphor for the Talmidei Chachamim. Uvamam Ar Kedishin, the holy ones. In other words, so he's saying, it's like a way of saying that all the Talmidei Chachamim agree with my pshat.
That if it's attached, it does not become.
It became chametz when it was mechubar. It does not truma. Okay? All right. Now, the Gemara has a different viewpoint on this. The bottom line, Ki Ata Ravuna B'Rev Yeshua, Ravuna B'Rev Yeshua came from Eretz Yisrael, turn page, the top line on Lamed Gimel Beis, Amar Kroa, Reshit. So he says Truma is called, I think, Reshit Degancha, the first of your grains. He says Reshit Shishirea Nikarin Yisrael, that it has to be that after the Truma is taken, the remainder is Mutar to Klal Yisrael. In other words, this is Reshit. You're giving the Reshit to the Kohen, and the rest will be for the Yisrael. So it has to be the rest is permissible for Klal Yisrael. Yatzuzushen Shira Nikarin. So, but in this case with Chametz, it's not Nikar. So, in other words, he disagrees with the previous Pshat. The previous Pshat is saying, the only thing I can't declare is Truma if it became Chametz on the stalk. Then I can't declare it to be Truma. But if it was not Chametz after it was reaped and then became Chametz, I could declare it as Truma. This is saying, no. Anytime, if during Pesach, I can never declare any chametz to be truma because the shiareh, the remainder, the remnants, are not mutar to Klal Yisrael. And the reshit has to be given to the Kohen, and the remainder has to be permissible for Klal Yisrael. So since the remainder is not permissible for Klal Yisrael, it's not an effective declaration of truma. All right? Okay. All right. Any questions?
So it's like a factual impossibility, is what you're
saying. Right. Or a legal impossibility. All right. Everybody good? All right. I'm moving on. Okay. Now, all right. So now the Gemara is going to have a discussion and connect it to a line of the Braisa that we had cited. All right. So the second line. So Yati Pravacha Bar Rav Ivya Kamed Rav Chista. So Rav Acha bar Rav Ivya is sitting before Rav Chista. V'yati v'amar m'shrei Rav Yochanan. So Rav Acha, Rav Chista is in Babel. Rav Yochanan lives in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Acha must have gone to study or visited Rav Yochanan, I assume. And he comes back and he says the name of Rav Yochanan. Anavim shenitmu, if grapes became tamei. He says, Dorachan pachot pachot mikaveitza. So a person can, squeeze them less than a base of volume at a time. He says, V'yenan kasher nesachim, and the wine is kasher for nesachim, meaning the base of Mikdash. So again, the grapes are tamei, so each grape is tamei. So we don't know this. What the Gemara is going to explain is he views the juices in the grape as something different than the fruit of the grape. So you have the fruit and you have the juice of the grape. The juice is a separate entity. Now, so when the grape becomes tamei, the juice does not become tamei. Now, the juice is in the grape. Why can't it become tamei? It's not called a mashka until it leaves the grape. And then when it leaves the grape has less than a beya. If the grape is not the size of an egg, it cannot transmit tumah. So let me read the line again, and then we'll say once more, okay? So the second line, Yativ Rav Acha Rav Aviv Yikamei Rav Chistav Yativ Yikamei Shmid Rav Yochanan Anavim Shenetmu. The grapes became tamei. So what's the solution? Dorachan Pachot Pachot Mikaveitza. If he presses them when the grapes are less than the size of a beitza, the size of an egg, V'yenan Kasher Nesachim. Under those circumstances, the wine would be kasher to be used as Nesachim on the Beis HaMikdash because the wine is not tamei. Again, The juice is not tamei in the grape because it's not a mashke yet, and it's different from the fruit. It's a different entity. When it leaves the grape, it's coming into contact with the grape, but the grape has less than a beitza, so the beitza cannot transmit tuma. Less than a beitza cannot transmit tuma. Al miksaber mashken mifkat pekidei. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan holds the mashken mifkat pekidei, they're like a separate entity. He says that they're contained by it, is the way he defines it, contained by it. He says, La'emat kamitame, so when are they susceptible to tumah? L'chisachetluhu, when he squeezes them out. L'chisachetluhu, leita l'shiure, so there's not a shiur when he squeezes it out. So the Gemara says, Ihaki kibetzanami, if that's the case, so why is it that Rabbi Yochanan says it has to be less than a kibetza? It could even be a beitza, and then when he squeezes it, it'll be less than a beitza. He says, why do I have to start off with less than a beitza? He says, because we learned the Mishnah Masechet Taharot, Tmei Meit. Now, Tmei Meit is a person who came into contact with a dead body, so he's an avatuma. The dead body is Avi Avos Tuma. The person's an avatuma. Shesachat Zeitim Vanavim. He squeezes olives and grapes, kibetza mechuvena, that are exactly the shear of a beitza, tahorim. So that which is squeezed out is tahor, in other words, the grape juice or the olive oil will be tahorim. So the question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan say you have to start off with less than a beitza? When we have the same case in the Mishnah says with Tmei Meit that he's squeezing the olives and the grapes and the grapes. Now, when he's squeezing it, the Rashi learns he's going to take a pshutei kliyetz, he'll take a board. He won't touch the juice or anything like that. Tmei Meit Shesachad Zeitim Vanavim, so he'll take a board and squeeze, in other words, he touched the grape before, but now he's squeezing it out. So when he squeezes it out, he'll take a flat board, which is not Makabel Tuma, and squeeze it out, and that which comes out is Tahor. He says, so how come over the Mishnah, he says the size of Beitza, and Rabbi Yochanan gave it less than a Beitza. So the Gemara says, Hatam Di Avad. Over there, it's talking about his di'evad. It's really, spells it out, di'avad, which is what di'evad is. It was ex post facto. Hacha l'chachila. Here, when we talk about l'chachila, we would tell a person says, I have this circumstance, and I have grapes that became tame, and I want to squeeze them. We would say, you should take less than the kibetza. He says, gzeira dilma atin mibad yoter mi kibetza. Because we're afraid that maybe you'll, in other words, we're afraid that you're going to go over the shear. So we want to make sure you keep below the shear so everything works out well. All right. All right. Let me just pause for a second because I think I did, you know, a piece here with this. All right. So the basic idea, so this is subject to connection with our Gemara, which we have not yet connected it, is that the idea is that that the juice, the way Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the juice is independent of the fruit. The juice is a different entity from the fruit. The juice is mifkat pekide. It's just like a container of milk. You have the plastic container and the juice in it. So if it comes into contact, so it's not a mashka until it leaves the fruit. So it's not when the grape is tamei, does not affect the juice. The juice is not part of the fruit. And then, but the juice is touching the fruit, but when it's inside the fruit, it's not called a mashke yet. So it's not susceptible to tumah. Then when it leaves the fruit, there's less than a shear of a kibetza, so the tumah is not transmitted to it. Okay, who's in questions, comments, thoughts, and anything I did so far?
what has to be the sine cabeza, the grape itself or the juice that's coming out?
No, no, no. In other words, the item that's tame has to be a cabeza.
The grape has to
the
be
grape. The grape, right. All right. All right. Anything else? All right.
This is a very simplistic view of things, but how can a grape be this a cabeza?
No, it would be more than one grape. It would be like five grapes. Okay.
I'm back.
All right. Everybody else good? Okay. All right. All right. Let's see back on the Gemara. All right. Okay. So we're around line 10 on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So Amalei Rav Chista. So Rav Chista. So now this is said over by Rav Acha, is saying over the Shtikl Torah before Rav Chista. And I assume he came from Eretz Israel. He said, here's what Rabbi Yochanan says, and Rav Chista is listening. So, Amar li Rav Chista, man sa'i lach, Rabbi Yochanan Rabach. Who's going to listen to you and Rabbi Yochanan your Rebbe? Kind of sounds like a sharp kind of response, but he disagrees with it. He says, v'chitumash ben lehechan halcha. He says, what happened to the tumah that the juice was tame? And the Gemara explains, alma kasavar mashkin mivla b'liye. He, Rav Chista, doesn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. He holds the mashkin are like absorbed in the fruit, and they're a din of the fruit. He says, v'keman di itamule ochla itamule mashkin. So he holds that when the grape is tame, the juice is also tame. So it's a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chista about the status of the juices. So Amar Lei, sort of Acha says to Rav Chista, "Va'alo tispero demashkin mifka p'kidei." You don't hold the mashkin are a separate entity. He says, "Bahatnan, how are you going to explain the Mishnah that we just quoted? Bahatnan, tamei mei shesachad zaitim vanavim, mechuvenet kibetsa mechuvenet." He says, "Kibetsa mechuvenet tohorim." The Mishnah says in Masechet Trumot that if you have a tamei mate, a person had come into contact with a dead body, he's an avatuma. And he was soched zeitim banavim, he was squeezing the zeitim banavim, and I said he had squeezed, in other words, he had touched the zeitim banavim, but then he squeezes it with a board, so he's not coming into contact with the juices. He says, and it's exactly the size of a base of the tahorim, the juice that comes out is tahor. So how do you explain that? In other words, according to you, the juice should be tameh, that's what you said. So if you say like I said, like Rabbi Yochanan says, the juice is a separate entity, so then I understand the Mishnah. That's straightforward. But if you say like you, they're just like absorbed in the fruit and they got the same status as the fruit, am I torn? Why are they torn? And how do you explain the Mishnah? So Amar Leis, Rav Chista said to him, Hachabai Askinan, Banavim Shlo Hukshru. Talking about Anavim, they had never, in other words, even though the Tamei mates touched the grapes, but the grapes never had one of the seven machshirim. In order to be mekabel tuma, has to have one of the seven fluids go on it. The grapes never had one of those seven fluids go on it. Leimat mitkashre. So when do they become susceptible to receiving tuma? He says l'chi sakit luhu, when he squeezes it. Now in this, the way Rav Chis is understanding the Mishnah then, so the tamei mate is not squeezing it with a flat board. He himself is squeezing it. In other words, he's the tamei mate. He's squeezing the grapes, and he's coming into contact with the grapes. But the grapes are immune to tuma because they didn't have one of the machshirim on it. Now he squeezes it. Now some of the juice leaves the grape. He says, once he squeezes it, it's less than a shiur of a kibetza. So now it has one of the machshirim on it, but it's not the shiur of a kibetza. It can't transmit tuma anymore. Okay, de'ilo te'mahachi, because if you don't say the way I'm saying, Rav Chista says, haditanya, that which we learn in the Braisa, now this is the connection to the our sugya, this a Braisa we did yesterday. Halamaza domem, this was in the machloket again between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, about whether the Trumas Chametz, whether you have to inadvertently eat it, whether you have to make teshlumen with it, keren v'chomesh. Halamaz adoma l'truma tutim va'anavim shnitma. It's like truma of berries and grapes that became tamei, shein lo ba'lo heter achila v'lo heter hasaka. So that the kohen has no heter in it. In other words, if the berries and the grapes became tamei, so the kohen has no heter achila from it in terms of truma. Doesn't have heterasaka, you can't burn it because there's nothing that would be a source for that. So, but if you don't say the way I'm saying, ha-heter achila nami itbe. According to you, the kohen would have a heter achila even if the berries became tame. Dibai daratlu pachot pachot mikaveitza, because he could squeeze out the juice with less than a sheer beitza from the grapes. So the Braisa said in the course of the argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that, you know, it's like berries that became tame, it's like lost, it has no value because the coin's not going to get anything from it. So, but according to your Hesber, the coin could have a value from it. He could squeeze it out in quantities less than a kibetza. So Amarava, Rava says that's a non-starter. That the reason we don't say that he should do that is we're afraid it's going to lead to a takala, that he's going to come to eat it. In other words, in the course of squeezing these berries, he may come to eat the berries, and that's why we say he shouldn't do it. But technically, he could do it, but it's in the Rabbanan that he shouldn't do that because we're afraid he'll come to eat the berries. Okay.
Is he saying that the juice is a
machshir? No. Again, juice is definitely a machshir. Again, we have seven machshirim.
One of the seven.
Ratshachadam, right?
Right. Yeah, Ratshachadam. So one of them is
Mayim.
Yeah. So the juices. So juices, they say, is a machshir. So I don't know if it comes under Mayim. Let me see. We have Yayin. Well, wine is definitely one. Wine for sure is one.
But not wine when it comes out.
Wait, you're breaking up.
Is it?
But wait, we have Yad Shachatam, you're right. So it's Yayin Dam. Shemen. Oil is also like a juice, you know. And then Chalav and Tal. Anyway, so but juices, when they take it, either it's similar to Mayim to Yayin or to Shemen. But juices are a Machshir. All right, now, so we only get into Machshirim according to Rav Chisda. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not within Machshirim. All right, let me pause for a second before I go in for the kill with this. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
Can you summarize the last 10 lines? You just went a little too fast over there. I lost you.
All right, so Rabbi Yochanan said that the juices are a separate entity from the fruit. So if the fruit becomes tame, the juices inside of it are not tame. And then when they leave the fruit, so they could become tame, becoming the content of the fruit. But if we were less than a beitza, they don't become tame, right? That was what Rabbi Yochanan said. And Rav Chisda says, no, that's not the case at all. The juices that are in the fruit are part of the fruit. And when the fruit becomes tame, the juices become tame. So Rav Acha says to Rav Chisda, well, how do you explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah says in Masechet Trumot that if you squeeze like exactly a beitza, there's no tumor there connected with it.
Tahor.
Yeah. So he said that in that case, it was the grapes were not, there was no hechsher on the grapes. None of the machshirim went on the grapes. So I have exactly a beitza. I begin to squeeze it. The tmei mate begins to squeeze it. When he squeezes it, now there's a juice on the fruit. So now it could be makabel tumor, and then it could transmit tumor. But at that moment, there's less than a beitza. So it can't transmit tumor anymore. So it's inert. You got it? Okay, so then and then we mentioned about the Zaytim and Anavim. We said in the Brisa from yesterday that like the berries and grapes that became Tame, they have no use to the Kohen. So he says, according to you, there is a use to it because you could squeeze it in increments less than a Beitza. He says, no, even there, it's Xerid Durabanan, he shouldn't do it because he may come to eat the berries. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. So we're around 6-8 lines from the bottom. The first word in line is Amalei Abaye. So we see Rabbi Abaye is not too far away, and here he is. We mentioned that before. I told you from Rabbi Ezra Schwartz. So Amalei Abaye, Mi Chashin Takala. Are we concerned about a takala? You know, like that. You know, like that you may lead to a transgression. We learned the Braisa, Malikin Bepat Uveshemin Shal Truma Shnitmeit, that you're allowed to take bread or oil of Truma that became Tamea and use it as fuel. A Kohen has a heter to use it as fuel. Why do we give him a green light to use it as fuel why are we not afraid for a takala that he'll come to eat it? In other words, if you say, like with the berries, it became tame, I don't let you squeeze it because I'm afraid you're going to eat the berries. So here, why do we let you, you know, use for fuel the loaf of bread that became tame, the truma tamea, or the shemen? Why am I not afraid you'll come to eat it? So that's the question that Abaye poses to Rava. So Rava says, Amarlei, patzarek le bein ha'etzim. It was with the heter to use the pot as fuel is with the understanding that you're going to throw the pot among the wood, so you're not going to eat it. It's going to be disgusting. Shemen shel truma ramilei b'kli maus. And the shemen for truma, you're going to store it in a dirty vessel, so you won't want to eat it or consume it. The only thing you want to use it is for fuel. So that'll guarantee that you won't lead to a tekala. Tekala would be that you would come to consume something that you're not supposed to do it. All right. Gufa, so earlier, Malikim Bipad Ubashem Shal Truma Shinit Mate. So we just quoted a moment ago that the Braisa says you can, you know, use the pot of Truma that became Temeah, the Shemin of Truma that became Temeah, as fuel. So Bayamar Shmid Chizki of Rava Amar Debe Rav Yitzchak Bar Marta Amar Rav Huna. So Bai says the name of Chizki, and Rava says the name of the base medrash Rav Yitzchak Bar Marta, the name of Rav Huna, Lo Shana Ula Pat, Aval Chite Lo. But wheat, not. It was if I have wheat of truma that became tameh, that I'm not allowed to use. Shema yavo b'hemli de takala, because I am concerned with the wheat. Wheat apparently, like it's you know like flops around, doesn't get so dirty. So whatever happens to it, it's edible. He says Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu chite. Rabbi Yochanan says that even with chitim, you could go and have a green light to use it as fuel. So aren't you afraid it's going to lead to a tekala? He'll come to eat the wheat. Like Ravashi said elsewhere, the top line, Lamedalet Amud Aleph, Bishlikta Umeista. That we're talking about where he boiled the kernels and then he made them disgusting and then by throwing it among the firewood. So we are talking about a way where I make it like inedible or very, very unlikely you would eat it. And I'm not worried about takala. So hakanami b'shliktu miista. So here too, that's the case with that we're talking about here with the wheat. In other words, there's another statement elsewhere. Ravashi made the statement. So that's the way we'll assume when Rabbi Yochanan gave the heter to use the wheat, is you make it like really for schmutzed. So the second line, v'hecha itmar de Ravashi, where was that statement Ravashi originally made? Ahadamar Rabbi Avin bar Ravacha, am Rabbi Yitzchak, like the statement that Rabbi Avin bar Ravacha said in Rabbi Yitzchak, Abba Shaul Gabal Shel Beit Rebbe Haya, that Abba Shaul was the kneader of dough in the household of Rebbe. Now there's a famous Abba Shaul, I don't know if this is him, but this Abba Shaul would knead the dough in the house of Rebbe. Now in the house of Rebbe, he was machmir that all his chulin would be eaten in a state of tahara. So that's a chumrah that Rebbe and many of the people would do. To, you know, that they would eat their chulin in a state of tahara. Vayu mechamin lo chamin b'chitin shel truma tmeya. So they would heat up water using the fuel with the chitim of truma tmeya. It was truma tmeya. I don't know where he got the truma tmeya from, because Rebbe was not a kohen, but they had truma tmeya and they were using that as fuel. Lalush bahen isa b'tara. So they're going to heat up the water and they're going to use the water to knead the dough and everything in the state of tahara. And I'm not afraid that the wheat will touch the dough or anything like that, because the wheat loses the shame of ochel and it's not going to transmit tuma. So the Gemara says, "Amai nechush dama ati b'huli de takala." So how could they use that wheat as fuel? Aren't you afraid for takala that somebody's going to eat that wheat? And nobody's allowed to eat that wheat. He says, "Amravashi b'shlikta u'meista." So Ravashi says concerning that case, we're talking about where the wheat was like boiled first and made disgusting by pushing with the firewood. So then I'm not afraid anybody's going to eat it because, like, poof, you know, nobody wants it. So that's the case that would work with that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did tonight or at all or in the last 15 minutes, last hour, anything from the whole daf?
Did we discuss anything about Pesach tonight?
Yeah, so I'll tell you in a minute. On Shabbos, we're having a sea change. On Shabbos, beginning with Daf Lamed Hay, we're getting into the sugyas with matzah, and we're going back to the Pesach situation.
Okay.
And I made a mistake, by the way.
I didn't miss it.
Yeah, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Tagare Lod. I made a mistake. That's in Bava Metzia. So there's no sugya Tagare Lod here in Pesachim. We did Rav Chinis Kana Kohen and we're through that. Tagare Lod is in Bava Metzia. Okay, now, any other questions, comments, thoughts on this, Gemara? Okay, let me see if there's a story here. Michael loves the stories, and then if not, we'll call it a night. Let me get a story out. All right, we have a story. All right. Okay, Rav Nachman Yitzchak was certain that if the grain became chametz on Pesach itself, after being detached from the ground, it could be designated as truma and given to the Kohen. In fact, he was so sure about his response to Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua that he confirmed his position by reinforcing his confidence with quoting the verse from Daniel and by declaring that the students of the Beis Medrash teach halach according to his view. Rama Halevi Horowitz Zitzal notes that this proclamation is unusual and that, after all, the statement of Nachman Yitzchak is only accurate according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who holds that benefit may be derived from chametz on Pesach. The halacha does not rule according to this opinion, and is therefore not an opinion which would have been espoused in the Beis Medrash. So he says, the Manoah Roim points out that perhaps Rav Nachman was only declaring the halacha follows his opinion in reference to Truma that is Tameh, which is not valid if it never had a Shad Hechsher, but not in reference to the validity of Truma, which is Chametz. All right, let me leave it. All right, anyway, let me end the recording. Let me end the recording. One second. Here's recording.